Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 7, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started, a couple of announcements. The church is sending a card to Cindy LaRosa, Ralph LaRosa's wife, and there are some that have expressed interest in signing that card. If you would please see Debbie after class, the card is available, and then as many as would like to sign it, we'll send that off to Cindy. And we've already had some great conversations, and of course, Ralph and Cindy, this is where they came for R&R. When they came home from the Philippines, they came to Las Vegas, and we had so many fragrant memories and very funny things that happened. And I'm sure that when we get to heaven, Ralph will tell about some of these things. And Natalie, his daughter, and Cindy, they've been contemplating, and the fragrant memories, everything that's gone past in Ralph's life, they have just been cracking up, laughing about all these things. So anyway, we have a card, and if you would like to sign it, please see Debbie. And then once again, just to remind you that this Saturday, June 10th at 2 p.m., a double memorial service for Paula Roseberry and Don Lewis. And these are two believers that have been in this local church for many, many moons. And they are not just believers in Jesus Christ, they are great winner believers in Jesus Christ. And it's very fun for me to do this memorial service. So all of you are invited this Saturday, June 10th, at 2 p.m. for this memorial service for Paula Roseberry and Don Lewis. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Another attack is being made in this country. And this time the attack is being made against parents who wish to homeschool their children. Now, Deb and I, we homeschooled our two sons. We were living in the church at the time. We had the several financial requirements that had to be met, and the only way it could be met was to sell our house. So we sold our house to accomplish these financial needs, and then we lived in the church, and we lived in the church for 11 years. And during that time, the kids, Derek and Dave, were little shavers, and we decided to homeschool them. And we started out when they were very small, and all the way up until they were high school age. And it was great. It was absolutely a blessing for Deb and a blessing for me. And we had my standards are different than the standards of the school system. When I gave a lesson, if you missed one, you flunked. And they all got a hold of that. Miss one, you flunk. And then I would go over why did you miss this one? Do you understand how to do it? We go back. I give a whole bunch of problems so we could practice. And then I give them another lesson. And if they got it all right, then they got an A. So you either got an A or an F. If you missed one, you got a flunk. Well, that was, and I was teaching math, and I'm an English major. Debbie taught English. She's an English major. I taught math, and I'm an English major that didn't really want to teach math, but somebody had to. So I said, make sure you give me the answers to all these. And I had to work very hard on preparation for the math. And we had physical education. We went over to the park, played football. I was full-time quarterback. They were receivers. I taught them how to run routes. And everything was going great until they got to high school age. And then they said, Dad, we want to go to a school and play real football. We're tired of you being full-time quarterback. I said, okay. So we had a cabin up at Coal Creek, which qualified them to go out to Indian Springs. I didn't care for any of the schools in town. And Indian Springs had an enrollment of 100 students in the school. And so they went out to Indian Springs. And it was a 1A school, and it was really funny because we went into the class, and one of the math classes, both Derek and Dave came home and they said, Dad, they made a mistake. I said, well, how's that? How'd they make a mistake? We had a test today and I missed one and they gave me an A. I said, they made a bad mistake. I said, well, the reason why I said it the way I did is that I don't care what your grade is. The objective is to learn the material. I want you to learn the material. So we would go back when you missed, go back and go over it and over it and over it to make sure you learn the material. That's all that counts. The grade doesn't mean a damn thing. Did you learn the material? And so we go over it and over it and over it. And when they got to public education, Indian Springs, they just flew through all of that. In fact, they even knew things about some of the things in math that even the teacher hadn't even taught. So there is, yes, homeschooling can be absolutely phenomenal. And unfortunately, with what's going on in America today in the public school system, with all the liberalism and socialism and wokeism and everything else, and now you can't be, and now they're pulling kids out and they're changing their males into females and females into males. And you are wrong and even thrown out of school if you call a person a genetically formed male and a genetically female. Well, that's just some of the evil that's going on. But this is a new target, homeschoolers. The Washington Post called their long, long article immersive reporting and narrative writing. But it felt like a hit piece on the rapidly growing homeschool movement in the United States. Homeschoolers now have a target on their backs. The article took aim at them, and others will follow. So if you are a part of the homeschooling community, you better get ready. The powers that be are about to do everything they can to bring you down. The Post May 30th, 2023 article carried the headline, "The Revolt of the Christian Homeschoolers," unquote. Now you would think from this headline that the homeschooling movement in the United States is dying. But that is not true. In fact, it is exploding in popularity. According to Education Week, American families homeschooling at least one child grew from 5.4% in spring 2020 to 11.1% in fall of 2021. According to a U.S. Census Bureau analysis, the number of black families choosing to homeschool increased fivefold during that time, from 3.3% to 16.1%. Many factors are driving the homeschooling movement. First, lots of parents are not happy with public school curricula. There seems to be ever less emphasis on the basic life skills of math, reading, and writing. And this brings us to a second factor, the terrible results in public schools. They keep making standardized tests easier, but scores continue to go down, despite the fact that the tests are easier. This is especially true among boys. There you got it. Boys are dumber than women, see? Other parents fear for their children's physical and mental well-being at public schools. For many schools are being overrun by bullies and bullying. There are several other factors involved, but you get the idea. And I'm not saying whether parents should or should not homeschool. Every child and every family present a unique situation. But I do believe it is a brave and reasonable choice. The elites, and you know that's a bad word, elites. The elites who believe they should run everyone's lives, they don't like homeschooling. If you homeschool your children or hope to in the future, you need to be aware of a coming backlash. Elite and their friends in the media seem to be gearing up for a push to make you a pariah. The Post article made homeschooling parents seem like child abusers, with nefarious motives for wanting to keep their kids away from public schools. And I think you should prepare yourself for more such attacks. Back in 1972, the Supreme Court made a crucially important ruling. In Wisconsin versus Yoder, it said that Amish parents have a right to keep their children out of public schools for religious reasons. Now that should mean that you have the same right. But we can expect that to be challenged in the future. And we can also expect more hit pieces from the mainstream media. The overall success of homeschooling cannot be denied. Parents willing to take on such a huge commitment should be praised. At the same time, anyone considering the move should be aware that it is a huge commitment, and there will be challenges. Still, for those who do it right, the reward will be even greater. The battle for the minds of our children rages on. And that's what you have to realize. You're the parents. You have authority over your children. And you have a very important, well, that's one of the, I loved homeschooling because I got to spend time with my sons in the most important time of their life while they're growing up. And they grow up fast. They grow up fast. You know, they come out of the chute and they're just little guys like this. And the next thing you turn around, they're big, ugly guys and adults and playing football and all things like that. It goes by fast. And if they're in public school all that time, why, I don't get to spend the time with them. Debbie doesn't get to spend the time with them. But that time we got to spend with them, not just homeschooling, but communicating at the same time, grace and truth from the Word of God important in their life. They're not going to get that in school. You'll never get that in school. But we got to spend the time of not only communicating in math and English and these things, but relate it to the grace and truth of the Word of God and communicate divine viewpoint and Bible doctrine and so many wonderful concepts. And just to have that time with my sons was a blessing, a phenomenal, phenomenal blessing. So, the battle for the minds of our children rages on. But you realize the liberal, social, wokeism part of this, they want to be the ones who are in charge of your children's minds. They don't want you to be in charge through, especially Christians. Because not only is the target on homeschooling, the target is on anyone who is a Christian that believes in the Word of God. that believes in Jesus Christ and believes in the Word of God. Well, we were fortunate. I mean, Debbie taught in the Las Vegas school system for years and years and years. And frankly, the best teacher in the whole public school system in Las Vegas was Debbie. She was absolutely the best of the best. And so she had a degree in education. She taught in public schools for years. And that was fantastic. I had a double major in WSU. I was majored in English and majored in education. And I thought that I might be teaching as well. And I did my teaching, and we had to go to a public high school as a part of the education major, and I got to teach in the high school I went to school at. And wouldn't you know it? How about this? There was no track coach, and so they asked me if I would be the track coach. So I not only got to teach English, which I did, but I also got to be the track coach for the school that I ran at. And I went into the principal and vice principal. I said, "Now look, I want to do something a little different. I want to give me the kids who have to pass the English class to graduate, and I would like to have a class, and I'm going to call it Spartan English. Spartan English. And there's going to be testing all along. There's going to be no talking. There's going to be all these things. But I want these kids to all graduate. And so it's going to be Spartan English if you'll let me do it." And they said, I think that's a great idea, Dick. I said, okay. All right. So here I get all these kids that they have to pass this class or they don't graduate. They all passed. They got pissed off. But they all passed. First you see pissed and then passed. And there were a lot of pissed. In fact, one girl came up. She was so damn mad, she came up and sprayed perfume all over me. The best I've smelled in a long time. And there was a fellow who asked if he could go to the library. I said, "Yes, you can go to the library." So I thought, well, I'm just going to check to see if he's in the library. I went. He wasn't in the library. And then I look out, and the women in PE are playing softball, and he's playing with the women. So I went out and he got a hit and it was going to be a home run. He went around first, he went around second, come around third and I'm standing at home. Just come on through. Hit home base and keep on going. But they all graduated. They all passed that Spartan English class. So both of us were in education, and so to do homeschooling with our two sons was a great blessing, but most of all, the time that we could spend with our sons growing up, that time was phenomenal. And then including the Word of God, the grace of God, the plan of God, right along with the studies that they were having. That was the best of the best. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start at verse 7. We're in a phenomenal passage. And there are so many things here. I could be in 2 Corinthians 4 for till we all get to heaven. But that may be real soon. I can't. Can you believe how every time you turn on your computer, they're showing UFOs? And it's something about UFOs every time you turn it on. Now they're saying the military has all around. We've got these UFOs. We've got all this information on UFOs. You know. Well, when the rapture takes place, how are you going to explain all these Christians gone? I'll tell you what. The Democrats and liberals are going to cheer. Yay! Those UFOs took all the Christians. What a blessing. We are so blessed now. They're all gone. So I see that. I've never seen so much written about UFOs. Oh, the devil, the ruler of this world, he has to explain when we're all gone. So I just hope that they wait till the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup first. The only thing I'm looking at. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We are afflicted, phlebo, in every way. But we absolutely are not crushed, steno kareo. We have great inner pressures in our soul, opereo. But we are not totally despairing, ex opereo. We are persecuted, dioko. But we absolutely are not ankatalepo, abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are katabalo, struck down. But not destroyed, apolume. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and you understand the unique spiritual life of the church age, you understand the spiritual skills, this is God's plan for us in the dispensation of the church age. When you do that, you will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You will have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when you do that, you now are qualified for God to give you a very special category of greater grace blessing. And that very special category of greater grace blessing is suffering for blessing. So every winner believer, every spiritually mature believer living the spiritual life will have suffering for blessing, and in fact specifically, you'll be persecuted. Now turn over to 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. We saw it briefly last time, but I want to point out a couple of things here in this verse. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. Second Timothy 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants, this is the word thelo, to want, to desire. Every one of you as believers who wants or desires to live, and then you might have, I have in this translation, a godly life. I'm going to show that in a moment here. In Christ Jesus, he will be persecuted. Okay, now, what is that godly life? What we have here is El Sebos. E-U-S-E-B long O-S. El Sebos. Now, El Sebos is an adverb. And if you look in Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, it'll say something like godly manner. This adverb, Elsebos, comes from the noun Elsebeia. And we've had this many times. Elsebeia. And this is the noun. Elsebos comes from Elsebeia. Elsebeia is often translated in your Bible as godliness. But we have studied this. This is a technical term for the spiritual life. Elsebeia is a technical term for the spiritual life. Elsebos is the adverb that comes from Elsebeia. So what this is saying is, in fact, everyone who wants and desires to live the spiritual life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The spiritually mature believer is qualified to receive the mantle of suffering for blessing. What an honor. What an honor. When you advance to that point in your spiritual life, what a great honor. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing, because it determines your greatness in life. God's plan for you is to use His grace and His power and have blessing and inner peace in the greatest problems and difficulties of life. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And oftentimes dying is considered to be the ultimate in suffering. The winner believer knows how to die and glorifies God to the maximum in his dying. I was in talking with Cindy. She let us know immediately that there was complications in Ralph's surgery, and he flatlined. And they resuscitated him. They brought him back. And when he came to and he spoke with Cindy, he said, "If that happens again, I do not want to be resuscitated. No DNR. No DNR. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, I'm out of here." And that is the thinking, by the way, of someone who not only knows how to live, but also someone who knows how to die. And you have a lot of believers who do not know how to die. And it's, no, you resuscitate me. You bring me back and bring me back and bring me back. But for the believer that has advanced to spiritual maturity, who is occupied with Jesus Christ, who knows that he's going to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, Ralph LaRosa is the best of the best of any missionary I have ever known. He is the best of the best. And yes, he's face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I guarantee you that at the judgment seat of Christ, he will have crowns and rewards that are absolutely amazing. I love that guy. I love Ralph LaRosa. And I'm looking forward when I can be with him up there. He can show me around. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing, because it determines your greatness in life. God's plan for you is to use His grace and His power and have blessing and inner peace in the greatest problems and difficulties of life. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And dying is many times considered to be the ultimate in suffering. The spiritually mature believer knows how to die, and he glorifies God to the maximum in his dying. David, man after the Lord's own heart, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ is the problem-solving device for glorifying God in your dying. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God, tranquility and inner peace in your soul. The believer who is occupied with Christ knows how to die. For the winner believer who is occupied with Christ, Philippians 1:21 is reality. For me, living is Christ, and dying is profit. If you know how to die, then you know how to live. The winner believer who is occupied with Christ has no fear of death. The winner believer who is occupied with Christ knows God, and therefore he loves God. He knows that God will choose the exact right way and the exact right time for him to die. Just as your life can be full of inner peace and happiness, so can your death be. For the winner believer, there is just as much happiness in dying as in living. There may be pain in both. But the issue is not pain. The issue is virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The believer who doesn't know how to die doesn't know how to live. He has no virtue love, no occupation with Christ, no sharing the happiness of God, no faith rest life. Since dying is the ultimate in suffering, if you have inner peace and happiness at the thought of dying, then you will have inner peace and happiness in living. Suffering for blessing is designed to teach you how to live and how to die. And when you put the two together, it is an unbeatable combination. Philippians 1:20 says, according to my intense concentration and resultant confidence, that in nothing will I be disgraced, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, I want you to listen to this again. According to my intense concentration and resultant confidence, that in nothing will I be disgraced. Now, does that mean that Paul never sinned? No, Paul sinned. In fact, Paul got into reversionism a couple of times. He crashed and burned. So that nothing here, it does not mean that he never sinned, or he never failed, or he never made bad decisions, but he rebounded, got back in fellowship with God, lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and went right on to become the greatest believer in the church age. So, according to my intense concentration and resultant confidence, that in nothing, Paul said, in nothing will I be disgraced. Doesn't mean he never sinned. Doesn't mean he didn't get into reversionism. He did, but he recovered. But will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. One. What this means is this. There comes a time, there comes a point, in spiritual adulthood, when you understand that even though you have sinned, even though you have made mistakes from time to time, you may even have been like Paul and got into reversionism but recovered, you know that you will not be disgraced at the judgment seat of Christ. That's Philippians 1:20. There comes a point in the spiritual adult, in your spiritual adulthood, when you understand that even though you have sinned and made mistakes from time to time, maybe even gotten into reversionism and recovered, you will not be disgraced at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians 1:20. Two. living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, means Jesus Christ will be glorified in your living and in your dying. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, means Jesus Christ will be glorified in your living and in your dying. Now, we live in a world with lots and lots of people. And you always hear people, well, I got a support system of people. Well, you might have a support system of people, but you know what? People can't live your life for you. People can't die for you. There are a lot of things you have to do all alone, all by yourself. Forget the support people. So point two, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing spiritual maturity, means Jesus Christ will be glorified in your living and your dying. And while we live in a world full of people, there are many things in life which we must do for ourselves. And the most basic of these is that no one can live our life for us, and no one can die for us. In both living and dying, we have to go it alone. So point three, there are certain aspects of living we must do alone. There are certain aspects of living we must do alone, like suffering, like feeling pain, like making your own decisions, like thinking your own thoughts, like establishing your own priorities. Four, and eventually, you must do your own dying. No one can die for you. You must do your own dying. Five, in learning how to live and how to die, why, you have the key to contentment, inner peace, and happiness. In learning how to live and how to die, you have the key to inner peace, contentment, happiness. Six, you can have inner peace, great happiness, and blessing in suffering and adversity, as well as in prosperity. You can have that peace which transcends all human understanding. Great contentment, inner happiness, blessing in suffering and adversity, as well as in prosperity. Seven, the only way to be on top of life in both suffering, adversity, and prosperity is to be a spiritually mature believer, a winner believer, a believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. So the only way to be on top of life in both suffering, adversity, and prosperity is to be a spiritually mature believer. Eight, simply being alive and simply being a Christian does not imply that you have the slightest idea of how to live or how to die. Simply being alive and simply being a Christian does not imply that you have the slightest idea of how to live or how to die. This requires living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This requires having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. This requires growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, and having grace righteousness in your soul. That is, knowing and applying everything that God has provided for you so that you can have a fascinating and wonderful life. So again, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 9. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We are afflicted, phleboed, in every way, but we absolutely are not crushed, deno kareo. We have great inner pressures in our soul, apareo, but we are not totally despairing, ex apareo. We are persecuted, dioko, but we absolutely are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken, en katalepo. We are struck down, katabalo, but not destroyed, apolumi. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11, Paul compares the winner believer's persecution and suffering for blessing with that of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union here on earth. Paul compares the winner believer's persecution and suffering for blessing with that of the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union here on earth. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This is the present active participle of periphero plus the adverb pantote plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of soma with the definite article plus the accusative singular of necrosis with the definite article plus the genitive singular of Jesus with the definite article. We start out with the verb periphero. Looks like this in the Greek. Periphero, P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R, long O. Periphero. All right, a couple of things. First of all, periphero is a compound verb made up of the preposition peri, which is about, and phero, which means to carry. So, point two, literally, periphero means to carry about. Three, it means to carry here and there. And in our case, carrying in your own body. And that care what you're carrying is suffering for blessing in your own body. Four, periphero modified by the adverb pantote. And pantote means always, at all times, always, at all time. Five, the winner believer carries about persecution and suffering for blessing in his body. N plus the dative singular of soma with the definite article. The winner believer carries about persecution, suffering for blessing in his body. 6, the body is the instrument of human experience and suffering. Seven, this persecution and suffering for blessing is described as the dying of Jesus. Accusative singular of necrosis with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of Jesus with a definite article. So this persecution and suffering for blessing is described as the dying of Jesus. N-E-K-R, long O-S-I-S. This is the active ending. You have a sis ending is the active ending, ma is the passive ending. And I was always taught to, I had a great, he was the best Greek professor I ever had at Dallas Seminary, and he had a system to learn Greek and his yellow pages, I still have them back here. I've worn them out, just like I've worn out. Randy Frick was laughing at my Bible up here Sunday. My Bible is totally falling apart. And I have more scotch tape on it. And it, parts of it gone, dirt, food. Nobody will want that when I die, I don't think. Anyway, he says, the way you can remember the ending, sis and ma, sis can and ma can't. Well, this is sis. This is the active ending. I'm glad a couple of you... This is the sis ending, active ending, the putting to death of Jesus. So point 8, necrosis is the putting to death of Jesus, the action, the active. Suffering. Point 9, the Apostle Paul was in the constant danger of death. He was in the constant danger of death. He was a spiritually mature believer. He was facing tremendous suffering for blessing, tremendous persecution, and he was in the constant danger of death. This is the persecution and suffering for blessing that the winner believer is qualified to receive. What an honor! What an honor! The Apostle Paul was qualified to receive more suffering for blessing than any other church-age believer ever. So the Apostle Paul was in the constant danger of death. This is the persecution and suffering for blessing that the winner believer is qualified to receive. So the corrected translation says, we always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus. Jesus had phenomenal suffering for blessing. And of course, he never sinned one time. He had great impersonal love for all. He had great personal love for God the Father, which motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan, which required him to go to the cross and receive the sins of the world and the judgment of those sins. But it also, it required him being beaten to the point his closest friends couldn't even recognize him, be laughed at, mocked, spit upon, thorns crushed on his head. He endured all of that. And he never sinned once. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had great, great suffering in his body. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus. One, by interpretation, the Apostle Paul and faithful communicators of the Word of God receive great persecution and suffering for blessing. By interpretation, the Apostle Paul and faithful communicators of the Word of God receive great persecution and suffering for blessing. Two, Paul received intense persecution and bore physical scars throughout his body, resulting from wounds inflicted by beatings, being whipped, stoning, because of his testimony for Jesus Christ. Why? Why did he receive all these things? Because he was a Christian and teaching the grace gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. That's that great, great communicator of the Word was qualified to receive all of this suffering in his body. Now, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have Paul is going to go over this again and again and again as we get to chapter 6 and chapter 11. First of all, I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Now, right now in America, I read that article and Hal Lindsey said homeschooling parents have a target on their back. And that's true. But Christians in America today also have a target on their back. But nobody had a target on their back like the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and pastor-teacher Timothy and pastor-teacher Titus. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. To the whole universe. To angels as well as to men. We are fooled. Well, he's saying we are being considered fools by others for Christ. But you, these others, are so wise in Christ. We are weak. But you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. And to this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth. the refuse of the world, the miaino of the world. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. We're going to be there. Second Corinthians 6, verse 4. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity. Now in verse 6, he's going how he handles all these things. Impurity is maximum metabolized doctrine of the heart. Understanding, patience, and kindness by means of the Spirit and by means of unhypocritical virtue love and by means of the word of absolute truth. And by means of the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Destitute, yet making many rich. That's through the teaching of the Word of God. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. And then he will culminate this in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11. See, 2 Corinthians is the epistle of suffering for blessing for the winner believer. 2 Corinthians 11, 23, are they servants of Christ? Then I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death. Again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned to death and resuscitated. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, the Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brethren. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? So when he says here in verse 10, we always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus. By interpretation, this is talking about faithful communicators of the Word of God receiving great persecution and suffering for blessing. And Paul received intense persecution and bore physical scars resulting from wounds inflicted from his suffering for blessing and his testimony for Jesus Christ. Paul stood up for Christ. He never stopped communicating the grace gospel. He never stopped communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. And that's true of every faithful communicator. Nothing will stop him except God saying, come home. That's the only thing. And I'm not here for any other reason except to feed you the Word of God. That's it. I'm here every day. I'm studying every day. And I don't broadcast all the things that's going on with me. But I pray constantly. I can see Jesus asking Peter, do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. And during the night when I wake up, that's one of the prayers I pray while I wake up. Father, I love you. I love Jesus Christ. I love the Holy Spirit. If you could see fit in your infinite and matchless grace to give me the health and the strength to continue to study and teach your word, I'll be forever grateful. This is true for every communicator that's faithful to the Lord. Now you decide what's important for you. I know what's important for me. Important for me to be here night after night after night. It's not important for some of you. That's a matter, that's between you and the Lord. But that is the only reason why I'm here. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.